Violating Vivian, Chapter 1. I opened my eyes and looked around. Where was I? It was a small room, perhaps 20 by 25 feet. Thick, shag, coffee-colored carpeting covered the floor. Light blue wallpaper, periwinkle perhaps, adorned the walls. I was lying on top of the covers of a large bed with four brass posts at the corners. Next to the bed was a pine night table, on top of which sat a bottle of Dom Perignon chilling in a silver ice bucket. There were three wooden doors in the wall opposite the bed. In one corner of the room sat a large flat-screen television and DVD player on top of a small table. The temperature in the room was warm, but not unpleasantly so. Well, wherever I was, it was certainly comfortable, though the lack of any windows was unusual. Slowly, I swung my feet over the side of the bed and stood up, which turned out to be more difficult than usual. Why did I feel like I had been asleep for days? As my feet touched the carpet, I realized somebody must have removed my high heels I had been wearing the night before. Otherwise, I was still dressed exactly the same. Short red leather skirt with a white blouse over a black lace bra and panties. I did not see my purse anywhere. What was the last thing I remembered? The club. I had gone to the club and danced until at least 2 o'clock in the morning. But Tiffany was supposed to drive me home. Obviously, she had not done that. I had never been in this place before. Had I come here with Tiffany or somebody else? It must have been somebody else, because Tiffany and I had gotten into a fight. Hadn't we? Yes, we had. We had argued. A man? That was generally the most common cause of our arguments. I love Tiffany like a sister, but sometimes she can just infuriate me. I guess, if I am honest with myself, the root of the problem is that sometimes I think she may be more sexually attractive than me. Don't misunderstand me. I have long, beautiful red hair. I run 4 miles a day to keep my tummy toned and my weight down to 105 pounds. I am not tall, but 5 feet 6 inches is not bad. And though I never blurt out, "My goodness, my breasts are firm and bouncy," it is the truth. So I do not consider myself to be a hag in any way. But it seems any time Tiffany and I go out to a club together, the men think her Jennifer Aniston haircut is just slightly sexier than mine. Her breasts seem to jiggle a bit more seductively than mine. So, on the rare occasion when a man chooses me over her, I tend to remember it. A man. Yes, there had been a man in the club. Oh my God, he was handsome. 6'2" with bulging pecs and curly blonde hair, green eyes with a strong jaw and a day's worth of stubble. I could remember Tiffany watching jealously as he had taken me and led me to a table in the back of the club, leaving her standing in the middle of the dance floor. But had I come here with that man? Hadn't things gone wrong with him somehow? Yes, I could definitely remember slapping him hard across the face where he had been. Where had we been when that had happened? Why couldn't I remember? I don't think I could come home with any man I had slapped like that, no matter how sexy he was. I slowly walked across the room to the first door and turned the handle. On the other side was a luxurious bathroom with an enormous hot tub and shower. A large mirror hung on one wall. Well, that looked positive. I moved to the next door and swung it wide. This room was definitely more unusual. It was smaller than the room with the bed, and it lacked windows, too. Cold black and white tiles covered the floor. Floor-to-ceiling metal cabinets occupied 3 of the 4 walls. A single 120-watt light bulb hung from the ceiling in the exact middle of the room. However, my attention was immediately brought to the thing bolted to the floor beneath the light bulb. It was a chair like the one at my gynecologist's office. This one appeared to have straps to hold the patient's legs into the stirrup. God, I hated those chairs. Where the hell was I? Had I come with an OBGYN? I closed the door and moved on to the next one. It was locked. I pressed my ear to the wood and listened hard. I could hear voices far away. I knocked. "Excuse me," I said loudly. "I think you've locked me in here." I listened, but no one heard me. I listened, but did not hear anything change on the other side. "Excuse me," I said again. "Thank you for taking care of me last night. I guess I must have gotten drunk and you brought me home. Hello?" There still was no change of the sounds on the other side of the door. "Oh well," I said to myself. "Whoever it is, I'm sure that they will come back." I looked quickly around the room again to see if there was anything I had missed. Taped to the TV was a paper with the words, "Play the DVD." Well, that was certainly odd. I sat in front of the TV and pressed the play button. The face of a young woman appeared on the screen. She had blonde hair, wide blue eyes, a cute button nose, and full lips. If she could get herself cleaned up, she would be every man's wet dream. As it was, though, she looked like she had been through hell. Some sort of white fluid was smeared all over her head, and it was plastering her hair to her forehead. It was dripping down her face, hanging from her chin. It looked like it might have been Caesar salad dressing. Her lips were quivering badly, and it was obvious from her red swollen eyes that she had been crying a lot recently. Behind her, the camera showed the same blue walls as the room that I currently occupied. What the hell was I watching? Was this some sort of weird audition tape? You want me to start reading now? She stuttered to somebody off camera. Yes, right now, said a male voice. Hello, she said. My name is Cumbucket. Tears began flowing down the young woman's face. The young woman continued to read. 2 days ago, I woke up in this room. When I did, I watched a video similar to the one that you're watching now. A woman told me that I had been abducted from New York City and brought here. I do not know where I am, but I have been told I am not in New York. I was told that to transport me here, I was kept unconscious in a suitcase for more than a day. The woman in the video said that if I did not believe I had been unconscious for that long, I should examine my left breast in the mirror. I did that immediately and saw that I had the word slut had recently been tattooed above my nipple. Oh my God, I said to myself, what happened to this poor woman? I have to find her and help her. The woman in the video kept talking. Just an hour ago, my captors told me that I can go home now. I am happy about this, but I have to give you some bad news. You are my replacement. What? That can't be, I said as panic started to set in. This is completely insane. I listened with horror as Cumbucket spoke. The bad news for you is that the rooms you are in now are deep underground. You have been taken from Chicago and transported here in a suitcase in the back of a van. Outside your room, there are more than 15 strong men. You have no hope of escape. I am also very sorry to tell you that the rooms you now occupy only have one purpose. Rape. Very soon, you will be raped. I stood up suddenly, but immediately collapsed again as my legs gave way. Now please, said Cumbucket, for your own sake, listen very carefully. You are going to be raped. There is absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. It will be brutal, terrifying, and humiliating for you. However, I have been instructed to tell you that if you follow every single instruction that is given to you, regardless of how humiliating it is, it will be much, much less painful for you. If you hesitate, even for a second, to obey an order, the consequences will be extreme. At this point, Cumbucket paused, as if she were about to relive something particularly terrible for her. I will give you an example, she said. When I first came here, one of my masters was alone with me in the room. He made me remove all my clothes and sit on the bed. He told me I was to spread my legs wide and then use my fingers to hold apart my pussy lips so he could take pictures of the inside of me. I said, please don't make me do that. He clapped his hands and six more men rushed into the room. Two of them immediately kneeled on my shoulders. Two more grabbed each of my legs and bent me double so my ass and pussy were sticking up in the air while my toes touched the bed behind my head. They held me so I could not move an inch. Then the master I had questioned went into the torture room and came back 30 seconds later. He put a plastic funnel into my pussy and then poured a bottle of Tabasco sauce. Don't let this happen to you. Follow all commands, no matter how humiliating. Tears now began to flow from my own eyes. That was really going to happen to me? What should I do? Should I fight? Should I try to escape? Should I give up? Here are your first instructions, said Cumbucket. From now on, your name is Please Rape My Pussy. If you call yourself anything else, you will be punished. Now I am sure you have seen the chair in the other room. You are to go into the other room and strap yourself into that chair. In the chair, your legs will be spread wide open. This is to ensure that your masters have easy access to your cunt, so that no matter how much you struggle, you will not be able to close your legs to prevent yourself from being examined or penetrated. Be sure to strap yourself in so your legs cannot move at all. When your legs are secure, reach above your head. You will find a pair of handcuffs attached to the top of the chair. Fasten them around your wrists. You may leave your clothes on for now. Failure to do any of this will result in extreme punishment. I am very sorry for your situation. Good luck in the next few days. I have been instructed to tell you one last thing. If you do not believe that you are completely helpless, you should reach inside your panties and examine your pussy. With a trembling hand, I slowly reached my hand down my skirt into my panties. I gasped. Someone had given me a Brazilian wax. my normally hairy vagina was completely bald.